Love my pastor. Boy, he's a good one, ain't he? He's taught me so much. And I'm thankful for that. And so thankful to work with him. And I want to tell Brother Anthony how much I love him. And Miss Debbie, me and Chris was just really, we just thank the world of y'all. And loved your message last night. The front part of it, you know, kind of stung a little bit, you know what I'm saying? But I'm glad the Lord blessed you and gave you liberty, and I needed to hear that. We've been hearing a lot of them lately, and I'm glad of it. And, Brother, I just want you to know that every time you preach over there, I listen to it. I look forward to it during the week, and I feel like a child trying to, amongst two grown men in this, but that's all right. I am a child. I'm a child of God. And I think sometimes we don't realize what that word child means. You know, we all children in his sight. And I've got a lot of growing to do, but please pray for me tonight. I want to just get right in with what the Lord's got on my heart. This has been here for quite some time, and I need to try my best to do what he wants. If you've got your Bible, turn with us to the 20th chapter of Acts. I'll take a little short reading lesson and starting in the 17th verse. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. This is Paul in his travels. Verse 17 says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come for him, he said unto them, You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." I want to talk about that one little line right there in verse number 20. I kept back nothing. God kept back nothing. When you keep back nothing, that means that you let go of what is needed for the situation. I don't know if everybody, Chris has taught me not to say this, and I agree with her. Sometimes we think everybody's familiar with something other, you know, so we just say it that way, like you know this and that. Well, you know, maybe there's a child here that don't know. There might be somebody else that don't know, but way back in the beginning, God reached down and raked up a pile of dirt, and he formed something called a man, and he made him in his own image, and he breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and it says that man became a living soul. And he placed him in a garden called Eden. And he said, of all the trees in this garden, you may freely eat. But he said, there's one in the middle of it. Don't eat it. He knew that he was going to when he made him, because God knows everything. Amen. But still, God gives men a choice, don't he? Amen. If he had made Adam like a robot or something, other than he didn't have no choice, there wouldn't be no honor and glory in that toward God, would it? But Adam wound up eating. His wife got deceived, and she t- took the fruit, gave it to Adam, and he did eat. And when that happened, sin passed on all, death passed on all men. That's when sin entered into the world. And remember what we're talking about today, how that God kept back nothing. There was a tree of life in that garden that kept the way. And all down through, he called a man named Abraham, you know, and then there was Moses. And all that time, you know, what they done was they was keeping the way. They was keeping it open for people and telling them about the Lord that was going to come later on. Those sacrifices and stuff that they made, you know, pointed to Jesus Christ. And they had a tabernacle for a while, so they traveled. And wherever they went, they would set this thing up, you know, and they had the altar in there. And right in the middle, it's this thing called the Holy of Holies. Inside this temple, you know, there was a holy place. And then there was another room called the Most Holy Place, or the Holy of Holies. And that's where there was a thing in there called the Mercy Seat. And God said, that's where I'll hear you, right between them two cherubims on that mercy seat. So they were taught, and they passed this down all down through the years. And along about, I guess according to the calendar, probably somewhere like AD 3 or something like that, God sent his very best. He kept back nothing. I remember reading about where John in there, you know, he cried because they was looking for somebody to be able to do this job, and they couldn't find nobody anywhere. And then it said, the line of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the seals. God kept back nothing. He could have just, if he'd have picked one of us, it wouldn't have done nobody no good, because we all just sinners. Even those of us that's been saved, we still sin. We don't on the inside, but we still sin. And it wouldn't have done no good. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. If he'd have sacrificed me for any one of y'all, y'all would have been in a whole lot of trouble tonight. You wouldn't have nothing. But God sent the very best that he had. And if you're lost tonight, I want you to listen. Please listen. He kept back nothing. He gave everything that's just so one of us could get down on our knees and call on the Lord and get something in our heart that we didn't used to have. Ain't you thankful for that? He kept back nothing. And then I thought about when Jesus got here. The scripture says that he poured himself out unto death. He kept back nothing. He let it all go. He let them make fun of him. He let them spit on him. He let them put that crown of thorns that he preached about the other day that represented that injury, that sin, you know, that thorns, you know, the thistles and all that. Because he let them put that on his head. He let them beat him. This ain't no fairy tale. This is the real thing. Amen. Jesus loved you and me enough to go through all of that. And I've thought so many times about how that he could have called them angels and they would have come and got him down from there, wouldn't they? But he stayed there. He kept back nothing. I believe with all of my heart when that song that the Florida boys used to sing when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And you was too. He's seen all the way down through time every one of us that was going to make an altar somewhere. And he knew the ones that wasn't going to too. And you know what? He died for them just like he did anybody else. We ain't no better than nobody. There ain't nobody better than anybody. Jesus died for every man for the sins of the whole world. And I thought about how that, you know, if you turn over in about the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, you find his transgressions. We were wounded. He was wounded for our transgressions, and by his stripes we was healed. A lot of that's physical, ain't it? He took a physical beating. The scripture says that his visage, or what he looked like, was marred more than any other man. I believe they beat him to when you couldn't even recognize him. No movie can do it justice. But I'll tell you what I believe was a whole lot worse. He became sin that knew no sin. I want you to think about the things that just you, just by yourself, just the things that you've done. The Bible says when God seen the travail of his soul, he was satisfied. The physical was bad enough, wasn't it? Jesus kept back nothing. He became sin for me. That makes me want to just get just as low to the ground as I possibly can. But at the same time, it makes me want to jump up over that telephone pole right there. He loved me and you enough to be sin for us. And he didn't even know what sin was. He didn't know what it felt like. He never had none. Can you imagine him hanging there without no clothes on? How ashamed he must have felt. How he must have been tempted to holler for them angels and come get him now, but he wouldn't do it. The scripture says in Hebrews about the 12th chapter and about the 2nd or 3rd verse, he said he was on the cross for the joy that was set before him. I know he loved every one of us, but he came to do his Father's will. He came to be that sacrifice where God kept back nothing, and he didn't keep back nothing neither. I can't help but think that when he got back home and sat down at his Father's right hand, boy, I bet they had a fine time, didn't they? Can you just imagine how pleased his Father was with him and how pleased he was to please his Father? If it had just been one of us in the whole wide world that got saved because of what he done, it'd have been worth it. He'd have still done it, wouldn't he? If you would have been the only person here, Miss Carolyn, he'd have come and he'd have died for you. He kept back nothing. He let it all give everything we needed. And then I thought about how that people, now I don't want to offend nobody, but let's just be honest tonight. We need a revival. Boy, I mean we need one bad, don't we? We got people here that needs to be saved, and I want to ask you a question. Is there any reason why we can't have one? Can we have one? Can we have one of them kind that when it's over with somebody says, well, how did your revival go? Well, it didn't nobody get saved, but, you know, it was good to be there. I want somebody to get saved. Amen. I want us saved people to rejoice and feel something on the inside. And the Bible says if we humble ourselves down, he'll lift us up. We can't start out up here thinking that we're something and get a revival. We need one bad. This whole country needs a revival. We forgot about God. We just left him out of everything, it seems like. Our families need him. Our churches need him. And every one of us needs him. So I'm going to ask you something. Have you kept back anything? I want to tell you something. Some of you younger preachers might be here. This is on my heart, and I wouldn't be saying it if it wasn't, but I want to ask you something. Do you get scared to death when he calls you to preach? I didn't even know what to say, Brother Barry, when he called me. I lived just like a heathen, and I said, Lord, if you'll get me out of this, I'll do anything you want me to do. But I wasn't expecting him to say, carry my word. And I couldn't do it, and I still can't do it. But when it comes time to stand up and do it, he keeps back nothing. He'll give us everything that we need to do what he wants done because we just ain't got it in us. We ain't speakers. We're preachers. And he don't call the best people he knows to preach, neither does he. She says, I ought not say it, but I will say it anyway. It's on my heart. I believe he calls the sorriest people he knows to preach the gospel. Can y'all testify to that, brother? I'm thankful that he can take something that ain't no count and give him a job, ain't he? But he keeps back nothing. When it comes time to do our job, he gives us everything we need. He'll put strength in your knees. You'll be sick at your stomach and scared to death and everything else. And somehow or another, when the Spirit of the Lord moves in there, you've got liberty to do what you need to do.
Amen.
He keeps back nothing when it comes to helping a church, too. Do you know that?
Amen.
But we need to talk to him.
Because
he knows all the answers, don't he?
Amen.
Let me ask you something. Is there anything you're keeping back? Is there something over here you know you want to make him the Lord of your life, and you got all these categories of stuff in your life, you know, but you got something over here you're kind of holding on to that you want to keep for yourself. You don't want him to have any part of that. Maybe it's some habit you got, or maybe it's the music you listen to, or maybe it's what you watch, or whatever the problem is. Sometimes we just people, we've got idols, and I'm just going to be honest. It's something out there lots of times that we put between us and him, and I want to tell you something. We will not have a good revival unless we're willing to set that stuff out of the way. I think Brother Anthony said last night something about, what is that over in Hebrews, how it talks about, give me just a minute here. It's in the 12th chapter. I'll just have to hunt it up. Oh, I know what it is. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. That means it surrounds us. Let us lay it aside and run the race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the beginning of my faith, and he'll be the end of it, and he is yours too. You wouldn't even have no faith if he hadn't helped you. We got to lay that stuff out of the way. We got to quit talking about people. You ain't going to get blessed with a revival if you can't keep your mouth shut about somebody else. It won't work.
Amen.
God don't change the rules for neither one of us. If we really want a revival, we got to leave the rest of the churches alone. Let them do what they feel like they need to do. And leave the rest of the preachers alone. Let them feel like that they need to do. And leave each other alone. And quit talking about one another. And pray for each other.
Amen.
Then we can start having a revival, can't we? But you know, a lot of times we want to keep something back. We need to give everything we got to the Lord. Don't we? Everything. I'll be honest with you. I hope some of y'all can relate.
Amen.
But Dusty, I want to tell you something, brother. God can build your life back after you tear it up if you want to, can't he?
Right. Amen.
He's in the restoration business, and he don't keep nothing back.
Right.
He'll let you have everything you need to fix you back up again. I spent years tearing my life down. I got to the point that I didn't have anything else. And now I want you to look what he's done for me. He's given me children. He gave me grandchildren. He gave me a good wife. He gave me a church to come to that I love with everything in me. He didn't hold nothing back, did he? He didn't keep anything back when it comes to helping me. Boy, ain't that good. This ain't about me. I'm hoping you're putting you in that same spot. Where every time I say me, I hope you're putting your name right in there.
Yeah,
he didn't keep nothing back, did he? I was sitting there at the house today, been scared to death. Boy, the closer I got to 7 o'clock, the scareder I got. And she was gone somewhere with Haley doing something other than I sitting there at the house, and I looked down. I was sitting in the chair, and I looked up on the wall, and they said, there's a sign in there. And a sign right beside of it, painted all pretty up and everything, you know. It's got a cross. Both of them got a cross on it. My older girls, when we got married, gave us those. that they worth more than $1 million to me. One of them just says, blessed. I'm blessed. Don't tell me that he won't help us when we, even after we mess up, he'll still use you and still help you. The other one says, I think it's Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. Ain't he good? They won't nothing work out for good if you try it on your own. If you don't love him. I don't have an excuse. I gotta love him. I said this other day. Oh, he's been so good to me. He didn't hold back anything. He didn't keep back nothing. How can I say no? How can I say no? I won't go. How can I say, Lord, I won't go talk to that sinner? How can I say I won't preach? I can't help it. I have to. I have to. He's been too good to me. That'd be just like slapping him in the face after all he's done for me. When I got done on that little old brick porch over there on the front of that house where I was raised, right over in the right-hand corner of it before you go in the door, and I had a little talk with him one day when I was lost. He didn't keep back nothing. Boy, he gave me everything I needed right there. I was in trouble. And all of a sudden, I just turned it over to him. I didn't keep back nothing. For the first time, I'd been lost for a long time. I'd been keeping back some stuff. But that particular day, I didn't keep back nothing. I just let him have it. And boy, when I did, the trouble just went somewhere. And I couldn't tell you where it went, but peace come in where the trouble was. Us preachers, you know what? We don't need to keep back nothing neither. We ain't got a right to sugarcoat nothing. We ain't got a right to not be humble because we ain't no count. We need to tell the truth, though, don't we? And always need to tell it in love. Amen. As much humility as we can come up with. Amen. Nothing good ever happens without being humble. Right. Nothing. It'll come to an end and it won't be no count. Humble's a hard thing to be, ain't it? I ain't never understood why. Because ain't none of us no count. The Bible said we ain't. I know people wants to hear how good they are at this, that, and other, but the Bible says that there's none good. No, not one. He said every one of us is sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. That's a good place to start, you know? That's where I started. Right down here, just like this right here. Squatted down on the corner of that porch. That was my start, and I was humble. And he didn't keep back nothing. And we don't need to keep back nothing neither. If the Lord lays something on your heart, if you really want to have a revival, when the Lord says, go over and talk to that girl. Ask her about her soul. Ask her if she's ever been saved. Go over and say something to that young man. When we get there, we don't need to keep back nothing. Do we? He ain't kept back nothing from you, has he? Ain't he been good to you? I got a home. I didn't have a home. I'm glad to have one. I got food to eat. I got clothes to wear. I got friends. How much better could you expect him to be to somebody than he has been to us? He didn't keep back nothing, did he? So I believe we ought not keep back nothing from him. He ought to own every square inch of everything that we've got and what we are. Yeah. He does anyway. Yeah. You might as well just willingly let him have it. Yeah. Lost people, I want to tell you something. I love you. If you want to get saved, you got to not keep back nothing. I know what it's like to sit there and people come talk to you about you. About your soul, you know, and it embarrassed me. Didn't it you? I hated that. I couldn't stand them women doing me that way. I just couldn't stand it. It made me mad, and it made me embarrassed. It done everything bad that I could think of. But they was following the Lord. And trust me when I tell you, he was working on the other end too. Don't hold back nothing when the Lord lays something on your heart, because there's a reason for it. You know what's worse than not being, or you know what's worse than being used? Not being used. How many of y'all been saved? Boy, ain't that a beautiful sight. Brother Johnny, when you got down there and got to talking to him about being saved, did he hold back anything from you?
Not a thing.
Then how can we hold anything back from him? I'm going to say it again. You may get tired of hearing it, but we need a revival.
Amen.
It ain't just a pretty good idea. We need one. We need for people to be revived. This brother said he went to, was it Ghana or Africa? For 2 months, and 28 people got saved. I said, boy, that's almost like one every other day. There's lost people here just like it is over there, ain't it? But all we can do is preach the gospel the best we can. I know this is not something I guess a lot of people would rejoice over because of that one little thing that I said a while ago. Not keeping nothing back from God. We all struggle with that, don't we? But can't we just lay all them idols down for, just get them out of the way? You got any? I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand, because if you didn't, I'd know you wasn't telling the truth. Got any idols? You know how glad God is when you make him first? He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Man.
He wants to be number one. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to be in a big fancy building nowhere to make that happen, neither. I know what that's like on a tractor. It's hard for me to keep him number one, but every now and then I'll put him in his rightful spot. And boy, what I do, he's glad about it. And he makes me know he's glad too.
Amen.
Can't we do that this week? If we don't in this week or two or three or whatever, when it's over with, whose fault is it going to be if we didn't have a revival? We've got at least two good preachers in this revival. I mean good ones that'll tell you the truth. We've got people here. These youngins can sing. Boy, it stirs me up. But we've got everything we need. And you know why we've got everything we need, brother? I'll give you three guesses, and the first two don't count. Because he kept back nothing.
Amen.
He has given us everything, Teresa, that we need. He didn't keep back nothing. He gave us the very best that he had, didn't he? So now, do I really have an excuse not to study my Bible? Do I really have an excuse not to talk to him and pray? I don't, do I? Nobody else does either. And you might say, well, that's a boring kind of life. I'm used to this fast-paced fun, you know, love and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you something. You might think it's boring. But just try it.
Amen.
Because, boy, you might be squatted down the fence row or something other way, but when he comes by, I will assure you it ain't boring.
Amen.
I've said this before. This is one of the favorite events in my whole life, 55 years. I know where I was when it took place. It's just kind of like being saved. But one time in my life, for sure, I've talked to him a few times, but this one time meant the world to me, and I've never forgot it. It was a real short conversation, really short. I just said, Lord, I ain't no count. You know what he said? He said, I know it.
But he said, I love you anyway.
Boy, what a place to be. That's one of them times you want to get off the tractor and take your boots off and think, well, this is holy ground right here.
Amen.
He didn't keep back nothing. He blessed me enough right there, that one little spot I ain't never forgotten. It'll last me the rest of my life just to know that he loves me after all I've done. He didn't keep back nothing. Boy, what a Savior. Hoo-wee. If you lost tonight, won't you just try him? Ain't you tired of being lost? I got tired of being lost. I'm sick of it. We'll have a song here in a minute. And I want all of us here at Hilltop. I'm so thankful for you visitors that's come. Appreciate you coming. Help us worship together. Do what the Lord puts on your heart. But I'm speaking primarily to us. You know, I've told people before, and I hope you don't take offense to this, but we're just a bunch of misfits, ain't we? We ain't wealthy people. We don't wear the fanciest of clothes and all that kind of, but you know, none of that stuff makes no difference, does it?
I gotta say this.
Go ahead on.
Oh, Lord, please help me. I've got something going on in my family that has about killed me. I've cried every day. And Tim is just about had it too. And it's killing me in my heart so bad. Please look down on me and my family.
Man.
I don't know nothing else to do but ask to turn it over to him.
Amen.
But I may have somebody very upset with me. But if I do, I do. You know, you said, don't turn around. You need to say what you need to say and do what you need to do. And Lord, help me. Please help me. You know, I've got that, like that song you and Marty, or you and Chris sings. I've got it in my heart so much. I've got that. The ticket to without an airplane. I don't know if that's the exact name of it, but I love to hear that, and I want you and Cressa to sing that tonight.
We'll
it means so much to me. I sat on the couch one night. I don't know if Tim was there, the guy in the bathroom, or where he was at. And I sat there and listened to that song so much. Listen to you and her. I had my phone holding it down, listening to it. And you know, I've dealt so much lately with Daddy dying. And then now this, and it's just about more than we can handle.
Amen.
It's just, we just need the Lord, and we need y'all's prayers.
Amen.
In every way.
Amen. Amen. You ain't the only one that needs prayers. We all that way.
I appreciate it. I just couldn't hold back no
more. Don't you worry about that. We got all night as far as I'm concerned.
Amen.
Anybody else got anything on your heart? Let's be real.
Amen.
No put on. We need the Lord.
Right.
Our babies is going to go to hell if they don't get saved. We need each other's prayers. When it comes to helping each other, we don't need to hold nothing back. We don't need to keep nothing back. There was Ananias and Sapphira in the Bible. And it was right after the New Testament church, you know, right after the day of Pentecost and everything. And they had all things common. And they sold their possessions, you know, and they divvied it out as people needed and stuff. You know, and that's not such a bad idea, is it? Because ain't nobody better than nobody else, right? They all had what they needed because they all helped each other. And they continued daily in one accord in the apostles' doctrine. Breaking bread, they ate with each other, they hung out with each other, they prayed together. 3,000 people got saved. It'd be kind of hard to knock that way of doing things, wouldn't it? But a little after that, there was a man named Ananias, and his wife's name was Sapphira. And instead of selling their possessions and giving it all, they kept back some of it. You know what happened? They died. They died. They thought they was hiding all that, see? But we can't hide nothing from him. Don't keep nothing back. Let your pride go. I'm talking to us saved people, all of us. Do y'all think we need a revival? Well, then why can't we have one? Just give me one reason why we can't. There ain't one. What about you, Brother Chad? You think we ought to have one? Let's have one. Wonderful message last night. Got started off good, didn't we? Let's have a revival. Brother Dusty's got one coming. Brother, don't hold nothing back. Don't worry about what you look like. Just get to that place that you don't care how the Lord uses you. Just let him use you.
Amen.
And you can't tell me when the Lord puts something on somebody's heart to do. You can't tell me he ain't working on the other end. Because, you know, he still ain't holding nothing back. He still ain't keeping. The only thing he's keeping back right now is wrath. And boy, he could turn it loose anytime he wanted to. We need a revival. I hope all of us want one. Bad enough to repent. Just like we've been hearing about. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. That hurts my feelings. You preaching about repenting and all that stuff. But I love him for it. Because I need to hear it. We all need to repent. Daily.
Yeah.
Please, I beg you. Let's give as much honor and glory to the Lord as we can possibly give. I know you're going to get tired. Some of you might already be tired and it's just Monday night. But I know somebody that packed a cross one time. And he packed it till he could skill plumb out, and they got a fella to help him pack it the rest of the way, best I can tell. But he didn't quit. We can rest some other time. Can't we? We got a rest home, ain't we? I've heard you talk about that retirement home up yonder. We can rest later. We got people that needs to hear the gospel right now. We got a church that we love with all of our heart, don't we? We need to give ourselves to it. We need to give ourselves to the Lord. Everything we got. Wouldn't it be good if somebody stopped us down at Latia in a Sunday or two and said, "How's y'all's revival going?" I would sure love to say that 28 people got saved. Hoo-wee! Don't tell me God don't get no honor and glory out of that now. It ain't got nothing to do with us, does it? I appreciate you listening. I may not get a chance to say this later, so I'm going to say it now. If he gets to preach tomorrow night, please pray for him. because he needs the Lord too.
Amen.
Don't forget about us.
Right.
Don't just get busy going to school and going to work and think, oh, well, they'll come up with something. No, no. Please pray for us. Amen. We need the Lord. But that's my message. Please don't keep nothing back.
Amen.
He didn't keep nothing back when it come to us, did he? I'm sure glad to be loved, ain't you? I was unlovable. I thought I was done. Maybe I will be in a minute. I was unlovable. But he loved me. That's better than being a millionaire. I don't know what it's like to be one, but I believe it is. That's better than anything. Just the fact that he cares enough about us to do all that he's done for us. What do you think? Don't we owe him? What about you young ladies that's been saved? Do you love him? Yeah. Start young. Don't do what some of us has done. Don't get out in the world. Stay close to the Lord. I wish I could just save one person from doing some of the things that some of us has done. Wouldn't it be worth it? And you might think, well, you're telling to me, I don't care. I don't want nobody to mess up like some of us has.
Right. Amen.
I want you to tell you something while it's on my heart. And you think, this ain't got nothing to do with the revival, but I've got to preach it.
Right. Amen.
Before you get married, young ladies and young men, talk to him.
Amen.
And marry the one he sends you.
Right.
Don't be out here looking for one. He'll send you one. Save a lot of trouble down the road. A lot of hurt people and split up families and kids that don't know what to do. I'm sure glad we can finish well, brother. I'm sure glad for forgiveness. But if you don't do these things to start with, stay in church and put your trust in the Lord and live for him. I think I'm done. Thank y'all for listening. Let's have a song. Please, please, let's just don't sit here like a bunch of fuddy-duddies and just hope that it's over. Let's put everything you got into this meeting. Listen close. Be sensitive to the Spirit. If he lets you know you need to do something, please do it. Please do. Ask him for something. That's a hard thing to do, ain't it? You'll get more out of it. I'm going to say this one more time, and I'll hush. We need a revival.
Amen.
Don't we? Let's have a song. Seek the Lord if you're lost. Go ahead, brother. I reckon I'm done.
Page 306.